Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast, our weekly look inside University of Virginia athletics. I'm Jeff White from virginiasports.com, and my guest today at the McHugh Center is Robert Anai, the new offensive coordinator for the UVA football team. Coach, thanks for stopping, popping upstairs from the football office.
Oh, you bet. Thanks for having me.
So you're about 6 months in now. What are your initial impressions of Charlottesville and the university, and had you ever been here other than for the BYU-UVA game in 2013?
No. This part of the country is new to me, and, love it here. I love being on the East Coast, and getting familiar with the recruiting footprint, I think, is very exciting.
If I'm reading your bio correctly, before moving to Charlottesville, you had lived west of the Mississippi your entire life. You played at BYU. Your father played at BYU. One of your sons played at BYU. You have two brothers who played at BYU. Did you have reservations about leaving Provo and coming east with Coach Mendenhall?
You know, as a player, it's one thing, and then when you're a coach, it's a different realm. So, yes, BYU was my alma mater, but once you get into the coaching thing, you know, I think your alma mater is the school you're at. that's been my approach to it. So I've been diving into learning about the traditions here, UVA. I've been diving into learning about some of the brand things that, you know, parts of the country know UVA as. And being an outsider, boy, I see it real clearly. It's got a great academic stamp. And, you know, it's attractive to those type of families that are shopping around their student-athletes.
You mentioned recruiting. Do you have a specific part of the state of Virginia you're recruiting, or are you all over the place?
I'm pretty much... keep tabs on the offensive side generally, and more specifically as we go to different parts. So I'm kind of at the beck and call whenever one of the area guys or position coaches. And, you know, I'm also with my offensive line background, so I hope I'm an aid to the offensive line coach and recruiting in that regard as well. So kind of all over.
The returning players will be back this weekend if they're not in town already, and they start their summer conditioning program with Frank Wintrick on Monday. They've been training on their own away from the McHugh Center. Have you and your fellow coaches had any downtime since the end of spring practice? I know you've been on the road a lot recruiting.
Yes, that's our spring evaluation period. And we're just coming in on the heels of that, and which is time we needed to go out and evaluate the recruits out there. But this time here, the month of June, very important. We've got things that we got to tie down as a staff from spring. We got things that we're looking at with our opponents upcoming. You know, we have a better feel for our team, which we did not in January, mm-hmm. which we did not at the beginning of spring. So at the end of spring, after you've been away, and I'm really glad the players had time away as well, to reflect and to kind of have a feel for where you're at. And, you know, we're starting to sort now roles for the upcoming year based on our work in the spring, and we'll continue that in fall camp.
You worked with Ruffin McNeil at UNLV and at Texas Tech. What's it been like being reunited with Ruff? And your wives are close too, right?
Oh, very much so. I tell you what, it's a dream come true to be able to work back again. I mean, we were young coaches, I don't know, 18, 20 years ago, and trying to figure out the game back at University of Nevada, Las Vegas. And, you know, we come with a lot of really grounded perspectives into our roles here at University of Virginia. And we hope to add value in our participation on the staff and with our players.
How much of a role did you play in getting Coach McNeil here when Bronco took the job and he was looking to fill out his staff? Did I know they had a relationship from BYU having played East Carolina. Did you say anything on his behalf, or was Coach Mendenhall thinking that way anyway?
Well, let's just put it this way. I'm just glad it worked out the way it did. And we feel very fortunate that we're on the same staff again, because, man, great for young men, Ruffin McNeil, great for families to send their sons to. And that's the program that I wanted to be a part of.
The only assistant here who you had not previously worked with was Marcus Hagans, who's a beloved figure among UVA fans who remember him playing here. What has Marcus's transition been like, integration into the offensive staff and his transition to your offensive philosophy?
Oh, you mean Little Biscuit?
Yeah.
As he is affectionately called by UVA fans near and far. That was very, the opportunity to work with a young guy that's from UVA, I think, has so many positives. And Marcus turned out to just over-deliver on the expectations that I had coming into working with him. After a spring and working through our recruiting part, it's unbelievable the value that he brings to our staff, X and O's, the value he brings to our staff developing players, the value that he brings because he is like a local celebrity when we go out and we recruit other right. places, especially in the Hamptons where Marcus is from.
When you get everything you need in place here, what would you like your offense to look like? Is there a run percentage, pass percentage that you shoot for in general, or does it change from game to game, depending on the opponent?
I really struggle with that notion because I pride myself in being a flexible type of a coordinator. And I believe if you're kind of set in your ways and you're one-dimensional, you may not have the personnel to do that. Mm-hmm. My experience over the years, I've been in those wacky offenses where we throw it 70 times a game. And I've been in other offenses where it's two tight ends and a fullback. And my perspective is do what your players do. And try to find stuff that they do well and go from there.
Because you had to change on the fly, right, when Taysom Hill got hurt, or each time he got hurt?
Yeah,
particularly last season.
The quarterback position, our past 3 years at BYU. And really that's kind of the way it works in football. You train the quarterback, and just when you think you've got it all figured out, the young man gets hurt or something. And so we've had to really do that at the quarterback position. And once you figure out what your quarterback does well, you're at the same time figuring out what can your offensive line do as a group, because all things are not equal. We don't have the same group that Alabama has. We don't have the same group that other programs in the conference has. And it's not just with O-line, but it's with our running backs, our receivers. And so the trick of the thing is, as a coordinator, to try to get all these things working in conjunction together. And sometimes, even though your pieces may not be as good as the opponent's pieces, if your unity and your the way you work together is at a higher level, then you can accomplish more. And so that's what I'm hoping to develop here at UVA is a continuity with a group and not really rallying around a percentage of this or that. But dang, yeah, Speaking of percentages, your third down conversions is always going to lead to points. Mm-hmm. The better you are in third down, obviously, the better you'll be with scoring. And kind of a tough thing with me, because there were times at BYU as a coordinator there where we were leading the country in third down conversions. And there are other times when we're just dead middle. And there's nothing, with all the effort you put in, there was just nothing to show for it. Well, I do believe third down conversions, if you can manage those at a really good rate, that's going to lead to points. I do believe your efficiency in the red zone is also indicative of how well a team is coached. And then, scoring points and reducing your turnovers, that ratio between touchdowns
and turnovers here has been, as I'm sure you know, a big issue in recent years.
Well, I tell you, turnovers are crazy. Here's an example. Our last game over there, you know, we're already declared I'm coming here, and our staff and our head coach. And you know, our last game, those are our players, so we want to finish out. We worked on ball security every single day leading up to that game. The only time we didn't was when we were in walkthroughs, which now I think about it, we probably should have done it in walkthroughs. Well, we get into that game, and our kids just coughed it up like I had never been a part of anything to that extent. Now, as a coach, you take responsibility, whether that's your last game or your first game. So to be able to just work on it, it did nothing for the outcome in the game. It looked like we had actually purposely just tried to give the ball away. So, you know, the mindset is we work on it all the time. That's one of the pillars in our program. And we come out here to spring, and we had a few fumbles. And when you're not going live, you can't really judge whether you've jumped on the fumble. But there were two fumbles in all of. I think we got close to 500-600 reps in 11-on-11 in just two fumbles. So that part, I thought, dang, these players are really conscientious about ball security. But a little more interceptions than I was comfortable with. But hey, new things that we're doing new things with going against each other and a lot of competition. So you know that was fun to have that experience in spring ball. We got a lot out of that as an offense.
There are any number of ways to move the ball down the field. What do you like about playing at a fast tempo and using the no-huddle look? And have you done it other ways in your career?
Yes. Going fast, I believe, does two things. Puts a lot of pressure on the opponent if you're able to go fast and actually be efficient. Mm-hmm. I think there's an element of chaos and an element of surprise that you burden your opponent with. If you're able to not have a huddle and move about, line up and shift around and motion and move to create chaos. And obviously, if you're efficient and really good and effective at doing that, then you increase the communication that a defense has to, in real time, relate to each other as these formations are bouncing around, and also with different personnel. I will make this claim. We've been known to do more with personnel groups, unique personnel groups, than any college football team that goes fast without a huddle. Usually when you have, you know, six or seven different unique personnel groups, you've got to huddle just to keep it all on the same page. Mm-hmm. But we've been very good working with smart kids, and that's what I look forward to here, because again, this university also smart brand of football player, and I believe that's going to be totally in line with the place that we're at. We're at a place that you can use a lot of different things than with smart kids, you could really get a lot out of that. Second thing with going fast is putting pressure on your opponent's conditioning levels. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, you turn a game into a different type of game. It's not just your normal physical football game. It now becomes a four-quarter sprint type, mini sprint marathon. So you're going a marathon with all these mini sprints and mini battles all the way through and going for four quarters. And the intent there is to also tax the condition level and the readiness of an opponent at our pace. So those two things are what we hope to be advantages as we do fast things and going fast and going hard.
What is your assessment of the talent level on your side of the ball in the program right now? And are you likely to play true freshmen in the fall on the offensive side? Can you even say that until they get here?
I really don't know until they get here. Mm-hmm. With the players that are here that have gone through spring, which will be our starting point come fall, I believe we have some very viable, exciting options in the offense. That's a credit, I think, to Mike London and his staff. And they worked hard and recruited really good players. And I think, the task is to just get them all working together at a really efficient and an execute outcome with really fanatic type effort and going fast with all the chaos we hope to create. And that's, in my mind, the big picture that I'm hoping to put together.
Three transfers will be joining the program this summer, two of whom are on the offensive side: quarterback Kurt Benkert from East Carolina and offensive lineman Jared Cohen from North Carolina. What do you expect from them? Do you expect them to come in and compete for playing time and starting jobs from day one?
Oh, absolutely. And I'd like to thank the state of Carolina for providing players into the proud tradition of University of Virginia. And I do look forward to contributions from both of them. They, these are outstanding young men. And to have them in our program to represent, they're the Virginia type of student athlete. They're that brand of student athlete. And feel blessed that both of those young men are here.
In addition to being offensive coordinator, you coach the inside receivers. For listeners who are not familiar with that term, who's in your position room?
Okay. They're inside receivers, but I also coach the tight ends.
Okay.
So we got the big tight ends, and we have some inside receiver type guys. So Olamide Zaccheaus is in my group. Keon Johnson is in my group. Let's see, the tight ends. We got Marshall, Bernie, and
Butts
is in there. And he's been hurt, but we look forward to him coming back. So those are just some of the guys, and there's some others in there. But the idea is that there's positions that we rotate a lot with the different personnel groups. So having what we call inside receivers, because most of the time they're subbing for each other. Most of the time.
And but Olamide, you obviously use differently than you would Richard Bernie, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's part of, I think, the flexibility of a coordinator and the way the game's going, to find out what Olamide does well and then to find out what Richard Bernie does well, or Marshall or Butts or Keon, And then to put that in a package and to be able to go fast, to do things that those young men do well, to me, that's fascinating. We have a huge growth ceiling, in my opinion, ahead of us.
At Texas Tech, you spent five seasons on Mike Leach's staff. I interviewed Coach Leach a couple times back in 2007 when Virginia was getting ready to play Texas Tech in the Gator Bowl. I've read his book, Swing Your Sword. He is an interesting guy, to say the least. Now, on the surface, it might seem that there are not a lot of similarities between Mike Leach and Bronco Mendenhall, but in reality, that may not be the case. You've worked for both.
Yeah, you know, I will say I see, you know, there are obvious differences in just people are different, but very similar in terms of the ability to maintain a narrow focus as to what you are doing in your program. And I think any really good head coach has that quality. And experienced that with Mike Leach and with Bronco Mendenhall.
You played at BYU for Lavelle Edwards, who's a Hall of Famer. Coach Edwards is good friends with George Welsh, who's in the Hall of Fame for his work here and at Navy. Have you been able to spend any time here with Coach Welsh and talk about Coach Edwards?
I have, actually. He's asked me how Coach is doing it. You know, I gave him my last report a year or so ago, but yeah, those...
They're kind of two peas in a pod in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the coach in those eras were kind of that way. And you know, what a great era, and that's the era that I played in. And to be a part of college football, you know, I've been fortunate to have learned, and that's the majority of our offensive philosophy and mindset comes from Lavelle Edwards. And he was very flexible back in his day and open to pushing the envelope with cutting-edge type ideas. And, you know, geez, he may have changed the landscape of college football starting in the 70s mm-hmm. when they started doing these concepts, throwing the ball around.
You have 3 degrees from BYU, including a doctorate in sociology. You earned your PhD in 1999 when you were well into your coaching career. Were you considering a move out of coaching at that point? And how difficult was it to juggle your coaching responsibilities with the demands of a doctoral program?
Well, that's a whole other story in and of itself. But actually, just 2 degrees. My bachelor's and a PhD from BYU.
Okay.
My master's degree is from University of Hawaii.
Oh, okay.
Right there at Manoa. So I don't know what my resume thing is. Probably got that all screwed up. But, you know, I kept getting fired as a coach. And I'd default back to my education. And I was hired as I spent 4 years in a junior college, and I was a tenured professor there in sociology. Wow. And thought that, you know, I'd had a chance as I spent 4 years there to do the hard things in my PhD program. So I passed my comps during that time. I finished my coursework during that time. And then I defended my prospectus. And then, right about that time, an opportunity came to be a 4-year D1 coach at Boise State and jumped at it, boom, got fired, went back and finished defending my prospectus and got hired again at UNLV. And went there a couple of years, and me and Ruffin got fired there. And that's when I finished it and wrote the dissertation and defended it. And then I had the 10-year slot, and I took almost the entire time because during various stops, I just kept plugging away at it.
You were working, yeah.
And 10 years later, I did. I defended. I passed. And they gave me the degree. And I was able to do that and still get hired and fired as the coaches do in the profession.
Let me ask you a final question. I know you need to run. But anybody who's seen the videos coming out of the football office this spring knows that you play a mean guitar in addition to your coaching. Is music a big part of your life outside of football?
Well, I gotta come clean with this. You know, I grew up in the 60s and the 70s in the state of Hawaii. And, you know, we didn't have games. You know, back then,
Didn't have video games.
The only thing in the house to dink around with was the ukulele and later, you know, a guitar. And so, you know, you were at the beach and you were in the ballpark and that's what you did. And, yeah, the only things we had to fiddle around with were instruments. And so that's where that goes from.
Well, great. Well, Coach, thanks again for making time for this interview, and I hope you have a good summer. Look forward to working with you this season.
Oh, you bet. Thank you.
The 2015-16 athletic year officially ends this weekend at UVA at the NCAA Track and Field Championships in Eugene, Oregon. But a lot of student athletes will be in town this summer, and it won't be all that long before practice starts for the fall sports, including football. For information on all 25 UVA teams, check virginiasports.com. I'll be back soon with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, thanks for listening.